Thank you, sir.
Good morning, Word of Truth.
Good morning,
Word of Truth.
Good
look at your neighbor, say, neighbor. Let's go. Come on, look at this, say, neighbor.
Let's go.
All right, all right, all right. Praise the Lord. Well, good morning, Word of Truth family. I want to thank my brother, Pastor Eben, and his lovely wife, Cherise, for the honor of being here. I want to thank my lovely wife of 27 years. My God. We've been together 30. We were unrighteous for the first three, but we've been doing all right. Come on, let's speak the truth. Let's speak the truth. Amen. Amen. I might have started a little too early on the process, but to God be the glory. Let's pray, believers. Father God, I thank you, for you are the all-knowing, all-seeing God. Lord, I thank you for a word for right now. And Lord, I thank you right now that you have your way in this place. Lord, I pray today that I decrease, that you may increase. More of your power, more of your glory, more of your anointing. Fill this place. Let us feel your presence. And Lord, we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. In your son Jesus' name we say,
amen.
Amen. All right, you may be seated, believers. After service, I brought two books. I always bring something for you. My latest book is called You're in a Place Too Small for Your Call. Ooh, ooh. Ooh, ooh. And this one is My God is a Healer. If you're going through a health challenge, I'm a cancer survivor, and I'll teach you how the word can heal you. Amen.
Amen?
Amen? That's at the end. Let's rock. Okay. If you have your Bibles, outlines, Androids, Nooks, whatever you're going to use, let's make our faith confession. This is Jomo's confession. This is not Pastor Evan's confession. Just flow with me. Amen?
Amen.
This is my Bible.
I can be
what it says I can be.
I can do
what it says I can do.
Faith
comes by hearing,
and hearing by
the word of God.
I believe
that my life
will never be the same
after hearing
and doing
the living word of God
in Jesus'
name. Well, today as I teach this word, I ask God, I had a message written about 2 weeks ago. I was excited about it, and then God hijacked my message. If you ever preached before, you realize God said, no, you're not preaching that. I said, Lord, I'm done. He says, no, this is the word for the house. I said, okay, Lord, I receive. Today's message is entitled, Faith Moves. Faith Moves. I'm a graduate of Florida Agricultural and Mechanical University on the highest of seven hills where we strike and strike and strike again. The reason why I'm married is because she struck me. Praise God. You can't leave a historically black college without being struck by a woman. To God be the glory. Say, neighbor, we're going to have fun. And with this being said, my mother, she never been to college before. I'm an immigrant from Jamaica. And so when she was preparing me for college, she didn't know about the money component. So I got there, and the first month she called me and said, boy, I mean, I have no money, you know. That's Jamaican, by the way. That right there was Jamaican right there. I mean, I have no more money. I said, okay, mother. And so she said, Jomo, figure it out. I went there to be an electrical engineer. And before you know it, I walked on the basketball team, then the track team, then the football team. 5 years later, I'm in the NFL. I never played high school football. Everyone say, faith move. See, when failure is not an option, you don't fail. See, I couldn't go back home. I had no choice. So I was in a position where I had to make a faith move. I get to the NFL, it didn't last as long as I want. That's where they get the word National Football League. For me, it was not for long. So now, that was good, wasn't it? Now I'm out of the NFL and I'm struggling to find myself. I'm working at Walmart.
doing taxes for Jackson Hewitt with a tight red shirt, because I was a big boy at the time. I know I'm big now, but I was bigger. And so I'm working there doing taxes at the front of Walmart in Orlando, in Florida. I'm a FAMU grad who went to the NFL working at Walmart. I wasn't a place too small for my call. See, some of you may be in jobs right now that you're above where you are, but this is just where I am right now. I'm in a place too small for my call. And so I'm a substitute teacher and working at Walmart. And I'm asking God, Lord, there got to be more than this. I don't know if you've ever been in that place in your life where you had a conversation with God and said, God, there got to be more than this. And in that season, I said, Lord, your word says to each man, you've given him a gift. And the gift will make room for it. So, Lord, I need to know what my gift is, because I don't want to waste no more time. I thought NFL was it, but that wasn't it. So, Lord, what's my gift? And it took 6 months of praying and fasting. He said, your gift is to speak. I said, okay. Here's what I've learned. Oftentimes, God will reveal your gift, but you're not in a season to use it. God will reveal your gift. Joseph, you're a dreamer. He revealed the gift, but he wasn't ready to use it. David, the gift is here, but it's not time. So what happens, we're in this incubation season where I know I'm gifted. I know I'm better than this, but God has me in this season. What do you do when God has you in the waiting room? So now I have to make this faith move. And he says, your gift is to speak. I said, okay, Lord. And me and a few associates started a speaking company. You know, I don't know if you know, but when you start to speak, they don't pay you. You got to speak so good they want to pay you. Everyone say faith move. So I started speaking and started traveling the country as a speaker. And I started making good money again. I said, oh, Lord, I'm bawling. Got my S500 bands. Come on. I bought 5 properties. I told God, I said, listen, by this age, I should be a multimillionaire. And then God says, no. I said, well, time out, time out. I don't know if you ever call a time out on God. He said, Jomo, I want you to speak to my people. I said, now, Lord, I have no problem going to church. I got no problem tithing, but I'm not going to let them talk about me. You know they be talking about Pastor Evan. You know that. You know that. I said, no, Lord. By the way, when God asks you to do something, no is not the correct response. So now I think I have it all, and I'm telling God no. And in the midst of me telling God no, and by the way, for you holy rollers, scripture is coming and you're going to choke on it. So you better be happy. You better be happy where you are right now. Because when I start hitting the scriptures, it's going to come like a machine gun. So I tell God no. I tell God no. And I'm flying to L.A. for 8 speaking engagements, each for about $5,000 apiece. So I'm going to make $40,000. I'm flying there. I'm good. I land, the plane lands. My phone starts ringing. They're telling me there's a fire everywhere I'm supposed to speak. Now, 1 fire be all right. 2 fires okay. But they can't have a fire everywhere I'm supposed to speak. All 8 canceled. If you don't speak, you don't eat. God shut every door. And I went back home. I said, Lord, but Lord, I'm not qualified. I didn't go to Bible college. Do you know who I am? Do you know all the bags I got? Do you know all the skeletons? See, some of y'all ain't ready for me. Do you know my mess? Why would you use me? And I had to get over that. Had to get over it. And I'm praying, I'm fasting, I'm praying, I'm fasting. I go to my wife, I said, Mama, God sent me to preach. She said, stay down there and pray some more, because that's not what God told me. Pray another prayer. I'm not hearing that. And then one day, we were at a yard sale, and a white brother came up to me and said, I got a word for you. I said, oh, Lord. See, when you're in a valley of decision, everybody got a word for you. Let me give you a word. Let me give you a word. No more words. And he says, God will not step in until you step out. I said, oh, that's God. And a month later, we start our church, and we've never looked back. Everyone say, faith move. As I thought about this, many of the men of the Bible and women of the Bible who failed, it was often a lack of faith. When you go to the Genesis, God gave Adam clear instructions. And when you don't obey God, it's because you don't believe God. He gave Cain clear instructions. Cain, if you do this, it will work out for you. But if you don't, sin lies at your door. Its desire is to have you, but you must master it. And then I go to Hebrews, first scripture, Hebrews 4. When you go to the Faith Hall of Fame, the first mention of a person is the first person who made a faith move. So God is telling us to get written in the book of faith moves. You got to bust a move. It says this, by an act of faith, Abel brought a better sacrifice to God than Cain. It was, he believed, not what he brought that made the difference. That's what God noticed. That's what God noticed. That's what God noticed. And approved as righteous. After these centuries, that belief continues to catch our notice. Your life is based on your faith moves. When you look back over your life, the greatest blessing you ever received was based on a move that took faith. Just ponder back in your life. All the moves you made that took faith, it seems like God blessed it. I don't want to assume you know what faith is. I know we're in a faith church, but I don't assume nothing. What is faith? Hebrews 11:1, church, let's read. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, okay? Jomo's version. Faith is believing it so when it's not so in order for it to be so. Faith is believing it so when it's not so in order for it to be so. Okay, another definition. Faith is total obedience without total understanding. Oh, Lord. Total obedience without total understanding. Because oftentimes when God gives you a word, it's above your pay grade. And you'll never understand what he's trying to tell you when he drop it on you. So you just have to obey. Number two, does everyone have faith? Pull out your umbrellas, y'all. I'm bringing y'all back. Some of y'all were in the club last night with this umbrella. I ain't scared of you. I'm going home today. Romans 12:3, it reads this. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, who's left out of that? Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Say, neighbor, got faith. Now, here's the reality, believer. Just because you have faith doesn't mean you're open. We all got faith, but you may not be. Hallelujah. Here's the challenge, believer. Oftentimes, though you have faith, you sabotage your faith with your mouth. It's an inside job, Lord Jesus. John 20:25 reads, this is Dalton Thomas. They told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he replied, "I won't believe unless I put my hands where the nails were." Meaning, though it could be true, your will supersede what God has for you. So oftentimes, the greatest enemy of our next level is our mouth. You cancel what God has for you with, "I can't, not now, not me, with nobody in my family ever did that." That's your mouth. So how do I get this faith? Romans 10:17, come on, church. Faith comes by what? And hearing by the word of God. So I have to understand, oh, this is good. You will live on the level you obey. Your lifestyle is determined by your obedience. For the Bible says, if you be willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. Don't hate me because I'm obedient. I'm just walking in the favor of God. How do I grow my faith? 1 Timothy 4:15. Let's read it, church. Practice. Come on, say AI. Come on, AI. Practice. Allen Iverson. Practice. And work hard on these things. Be absorbed in them. Completely occupied in your ministry. Here it is. So that your progress will be what? Evident to all. You got to put the work in. You got to work the word. You got to work the word. Joshua 1:8 says this. But this book of law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall read and meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything in accordance with all that's written. Here it is. For then God will make your way prosperous. We got to read, church. Y'all ain't reading. For then God. That's why I keep repeating. I want y'all to read. For then God. No, God doesn't prosper you. Look what he says. For then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will be successful. Look and say, neighbor, it's on you, boo. How do I access the promise? Romans 4:16. All the promises of God are received by faith. Whatever promise you haven't received, you haven't put faith to it yet. Oh, Jesus. How do I please God? Hebrews 11:6. For it is impossible to please God without faith. For those who come to God must first believe that he exists and believe that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Hallelujah. So what work the test? So if I am not in faith, I am not pleasing God. The only way to please God is to be in. So the question is, what are you in faith for? Because if I'm not in faith for something, I'm not pleasing God. There should be something in your life that you're saying, Lord, if you don't make a way, there should be some desire, some dream, some healing, some restoration. There got to be something in your life that you should be in faith for. If not, you are not pleasing God, because faith pleases God. So now you have to ask your neighbor, what you in faith for? Is it a baby, a house, a job, a business, a healing? You got to be in faith for something. Because if you're not in faith for something, that means you cannot please God. Raise your hand if you want to please God. That means all of you need to be in faith for something. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. How do I perfect my faith? Hebrews 12:2 says this. Looking away from all that will what? Distract us. Focusing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, The first incentive for our belief, the one who brings our faith to maturity. For the joy of accomplishing the goal set before him, he endured the cross. Here's a revelation. Christ perfects me, and Christ was perfected by focus. He focused on the cross, which was his goal. So therefore, if I want to navigate through my crosses, I have to focus on my goal. The goal of Jesus was to see you saved. The vision of your salvation gave him the endurance to hang on a cross. So when you have a goal big enough, it will provide you the endurance you need to navigate through the hell you got to walk through. But you have to have a vision of what God's called you to, because then you will understand the purpose in your pain. See, when you tap into the purpose in your pain, you tap into the power. Because there's a power in your pain, but you don't realize it because you're complaining about your pain, not realizing that unless God crushes you, you have no oil. So God will crush you so you can have your oil. So the challenge is we complain about our pain, not realizing you're in the process room. God is working you for your next level. And sometimes we cry in the crushing, not realizing I'm in the birthing room. Old lady, this is calm down, Jomo, calm down. Calm down. I run a little hot. It's the first service. Calm down, Joma. The New Living says, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy waiting for him, he endured the cross. So when you get the goal right, it provides you the endurance to navigate your birthing season. And many of us have aborted dreams because we couldn't handle the pressure of the birthing room. Number 9, faith must be applied for resources to be supplied. Luke 17, this will blow your mind. The apostles came up and said to him, Master, give us more faith. This blew up in my spirit. Then Jesus responds, there is no less or more in faith. Wait a second. There's no less or more faith, Lord? What are you trying to tell me? It's whether the faith is applied or not. It's the same faith, it's just you don't up. Okay, let me say it another way. Say, neighbor, I know you got ab muscles. I know you got a six pack. It's just hiding up underneath that. It's summertime, y'all. Y'all got y'all beach body ready. Just because we can't see it doesn't mean you don't have it. And the reality is God has things for you, but just because you don't mean you don't. So Jesus is saying it's not whether or not you need more faith or less faith. You got to work with what you got. He says this, give us more faith. But Master says, you don't need more faith. There's no more, and that's a whole revelation. There is no more or less in faith. If you have the faith of a bare kernel faith, say the size of a poppy seed, you will say to the sycamore tree, go jump in the lake and it will do it. Let's connect the faith. 2 Corinthians 4:13. It reads, we have the same spirit of faith as those who believe and spoke. Therefore, we also believe and we also speak. So the reality is, if I listen to you, I'll know whether you're in faith or not. We have the same spirit of faith as those who believe and spoke. Therefore, we also believe and we also. So if you ain't saying nothing, you don't believe nothing. Because faith is released by the words of your mouth. And the devil has most of your mouth closed. He stole your confession. He stole your praise. Those are your weapons, believer. The problem is we don't think big enough. Ephesians 3:20, amplified. I love how it reads. Can I get my umbrella, brother? Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. Glory to God. The Bible says here, y'all ready? Let's read, church. Now to him who is able to carry out his purpose and do what? Did he say super? Y'all know what super means when y'all go to McDonald's and get supersized. He says this, to do super abundantly more than all we dare. I double dog dare you. Stop being so scary. Ask or think infinitely beyond our greatest prayers, hopes, or dreams, according to his power, come on, that worketh in us. Here's the reality, believers. Some of you working with this faith. It is faith, but you're not maximizing it. And some of you got grown faith. See, grown faith is big enough for you. Come on then, and somebody else. See, this faith is big enough that I can bring my family along. When they can talk about my daddy's faith and my granddaddy's faith. That kind of faith you got to grow into. My God. So let me put it together. Ooh, I look excited. So let's release it, okay? For you to manifest this, I first must hear right. Everyone say hear right. So the Bible says faith comes by what?
Hearing.
And hearing by?
Word.
Okay, well, here's the reality. So does fear.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah.
Comes by what?
Hearing.
So you must make sure you filter your ears. Get every hater, backstabber, negative person, get behind me, Satan. I got to make sure that I hear right. I was in the chemo lab 10 years ago when I was going through cancer. And a lady sat down to me. It wasn't her fault. But she sat down next to me. And they were struggling to get a needle. What happens when you're going through chemo, some have to go through here. I had a port in my chest. And they couldn't find her vein. She said, I just want to die. And my wife and I said, get behind me, Satan. My wife said, Jomo, you loud. They about to heard you. I said, listen, if she going to yell loud, I'm going to yell loud too. Because see what happens, I'm not saying it's her, but the devil can use people to speak a negative word into your life. And when you're down and discouraged, you might say, well, I want to die too. No, get behind me, Satan. I shall live and not die and declare the works of God over my life. So first off, everyone say, I got to hear right. So after I hear right, then I got to think right. Philippians 4:8 says, think on these things. He says, cast down every vain imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So therefore, if I hear right, I'm going to start. Then after I think right, I got to meditate right. This is Joshua 1:8 says, if you meditate on the word night and day, you shall make your way prosperous and you shall have good success. Then once I meditate right, my heart starts changing. Proverbs 4:23 says, out of the heart flows the issues of life. Your life is determined by your heart. Luke 6:45 says, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. So first off, you hear right, you think right, you meditate right, it goes into your heart. Then when it goes to your heart, it comes out of your mouth. Proverbs 18:21 says, for death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who indulge shall eat the fruit thereof. So then here's the revelation. Hebrews 11 says, the world was formed by the word of God. So if the world was formed by the word of God, and Genesis 1:26 says that you are made in God's image and God's likeness. So if God created the world with his words, then you create your world with your words. So, I got to hear right, so I think right. When I think right, I meditate right. When I meditate, it gets into my heart. When it goes in my heart, it eventually comes out of my... And whatever I want to manifest, I must first confess. Whatever you want to manifest, you must first... How did God create the world? And we are made in his image and his likeness. So when I was in that chemo lab, And I'm sitting there going through chemo. I created my own regimen. I said, since I have this chemo coming in my body, this infusion, I got to make sure I got a faith infusion. Father God, I thank you right now as your words in Isaiah 53 and 5, by your stripes I am healed. Lord, I thank you right now as your words in Isaiah 54, 17, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. See what I'm doing is I'm putting my cover on. The Bible says, put on the whole armor of God that you may stand against the wiles of the devil. See, when you start getting the word, now let me help you, Revelation. I'm not saying the umbrella is significant of the size of your faith. I'm saying the umbrella is the significant of the size of your understanding. Yes, sir. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Our faith is the same. The application of our faith is what's different. So when you get the revelation on this, then you can say, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I'm the head, not the tail. I'm above, not below. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Then when you feel a little anxious, you can say Philippians 4:6. To be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Let your request be known to him, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and guard your mind. You go to Matthew 11:28, come to me, all those who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You go to 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your cares upon the Lord, for he cares for you. Hallelujah. When you're going through the valley, you say, yea, though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. When you get a little scary, you say, for God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. When your money gets funny, you say, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I've been built for this. Say, neighbor, this is how I fight my battle. Say, neighbor, this is how I fight my battle. I fight my battle with the word of God. Hallelujah. I cut to pieces the snares of the enemy by speaking the word of God. Lord, I thank you right now that I'm more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Lord, I thank you that if God be for me, who can be against me? Lord, I thank you that this is but a momentary light affliction and cannot be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in me. I go to James 1:2, count it. Yeah, when you fall in various trials and testings, for the testing of your faith produces patience, and let patience have its perfect work, that you might be complete, perfect, and lacking nothing. All right. Sit down, y'all. Sit down. I ain't done. Sit down. Sit down. Let's land a plane. 2 Peter 1. Look what it says this. I, Simon Peter, a bondservant, apostle, special messenger, person chosen, representative of Christ, to those who have received, he didn't say going to receive. Those who receive and possess God's will, a precious faith, the same kind as ours. By righteousness of our God, our Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace, a special sense of spiritual well-being, be multiplied in you. Here it is, church. In the true, intimate knowledge of God, and Christ Jesus. So grace is multiplied based on relation. The greater your relationship, the greater grace on your life. I'm going to compound that. Verse 3. For his divine power has bestowed on us absolutely everything necessary for a dynamic spiritual life and godliness. Here it is. How? Through the true, personal, not mama's faith. Not grandmama's faith. Not your husband's faith. Not your wife's faith. So, the power is released based on personal knowledge of him who has called us. So, last umbrella. What? So what happens, believer? As my knowledge grows, the area that I can cover, the area I can step on, is based on my knowledge. Because I do my battle with the word of God. I cut to pieces the snares of the enemy by speaking the word of God. Come here, brother. Come here, brother. Come on. Come up onto my back. Come on, brother. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on, brother. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. See, all of us might be the Joseph of our families. And your faith might set your family free. In Acts chapter 16, the Bible says that Paul and Silas were beaten, scourged, and stripped. And in spite of the hell they've been through, they never lost their praise. How is it that they could be in a dark room, have shackles on, but they didn't lose their praise? Because they understood that when you start praising, heaven starts shaking. When heaven starts shaking, there's an earthquake in the prison. And what you realize, they understood that though you may slay me, you'll never steal my praise. My praise confuses the enemy. So when you get your word aligned and you get your praise aligned, nothing can stop you. And then the Bible says, as I land, as they praise and praise in the midnight hour, the Bible says all the shackles came off. There might be some people in your life who are shackled right now. It might be your praise that sets them. They were guilty, but two people decided, I'm gonna praise God anyhow. I know what you did to me, but I'm gonna praise God anyhow. See, I need one person per row to praise for your whole row. Praise for your whole row. This might be the day that they get free. Praise for your row. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I ask you right now. Thank you, brothers. The Bible says that the jailer came out and he said this, what must I do to be saved? Because see, when God moves, everybody knows it. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I ask you right now, believer, where are you in your faith? Is the day you make a faith move? Are you serving in ministry? It's the day you make a faith move. Have you started your business? It's the day you make a faith move. Do you have sickness in your body? It's the day you start confessing to it and start telling that sickness who your God is. It's the day you make your faith move. I don't know if you know Jesus is your Lord and Savior. I pray you do. But if you don't, let today be the day you make him your Lord and your Savior. Confess with me, Father. I thank you right now that I received this word for my life. Lord, give me the strength and the wisdom to apply the faith you've already given me. And Lord, I thank you that I will testify of the move you're about to make in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on.